All right, Raw Feed is on, and we are very honored to have Whitney Cummings with us. Whitney, good morning.
Thank you. How's it going?
Hey, Whitney.
It's going great.
You're going to be here in what? Oh, wow, 2 days.
In 2 days, I will be there, yeah.
Well, it was 90 degrees here yesterday. So we got that.
Can you fix that?
No, we cannot fix
that before I get there.
Yeah. I just got to say, I was lucky enough to see you at the Improv last year. Well, it was actually before the pandemic.
Was it?
Yeah, it was before the pandemic. It was me and Frank Billingsley and Gabe Canales.
And, oh yeah, Gabe. Because you went backstage,
we got to meet you. I was just blown away.
What? We let you back? I specifically told them to not let you backstage.
Yeah, and Carolyn Farb was with us too. Yeah, I was just blown away. You were so hysterically funny. I mean, just great.
I gotta say though, Houston, the crowds, they're so funny. They're so down to earth. Like, and it's just nice to be doing comedy in a place where like it's okay if you're not like transitioning on stage. Like, I'm a girl. Is that okay that I didn't change my gender this morning?
Like, I was going to ask you that, Whitney. Like, do you kind of like cringe going to LA, doing LA comedy places because sometimes they're just
pretentious douchebags?
Yeah.
So at LA shows now, you just get slapped in the face.
Yeah, good point.
So. Oh, nice.
That's how they do it there.
Hey, were you watching that when that happened? What was your initial reaction? You're like, wow, because you're a comedian. You're a comedian. Could you imagine being assaulted for telling a joke?
It is pretty wild. Like, you know, because there's a couple things going on here. Number one, like, he had so many opportunities to turn around or stop. Like, that was like a good 12 steps. Like, one, two, three. It's like, you can't win the Best Actor Oscar the same night. You can't act like you have your crap together. Do you know what I mean? It's like, he could have at the last minute turned it into like a noogie or like a fake punch or like a tickle. Like,
that's what I was thinking. Just grab him by the neck. Grab him by the neck, goof around, and just let goof on him. But have some fun.
Yeah, like, there could have been so many other ways to like save it. But like, in that mind, I also, it's like, know who you're in a room with, you know? Like, Chris Rock, he made a movie called Good Hair. He's probably going to make fun of the bald chick.
Yep.
Like, let's just, like, not be so surprised. But, you know, it's like there's so many toxic, weird relationships in L.A., and I always, Scientology strikes again.
Scientology strikes again. Whitney, so, I mean, behind the scenes, if people don't know, could you tell, you know, the audience exactly, like, you are a writer. You've been working on what TV shows, all that?
Yeah, I created a show called Two Broke Girls. I did a show on NBC called Whitney, you know, and did the new Roseanne reboot. That went great. Everything I work on just turns to gold. And, you know, now I'm working on a podcast. You know, I didn't want to do a podcast for the longest time because of someone that, you know, as a comedian, used to go from city to city and do radio, talk to guys like you. I was like, I could never do that. I don't know if these guys are, if you guys are on cocaine or Adderall or what it is. But
a little of both. That's what I love about
for
you.
4 hours.
Whitney, I mean, you have so much to say and you say it so, I mean, everyone.
Eloquently.
Yeah, it works, especially for Houston. That's why Houston's a great comedy scene, I feel. The people get it. They want to have fun. They're there to laugh. They're not there to take life serious. You know, you don't have to worry about being slapped.
Let me ask you, though. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about getting canceled on a national scale. Like, that ship has sailed. And if that was going to happen, it probably would have happened. I did the roasts, you know. Like, so if anyone wants to cancel me, they can do it whenever they want.
Yep.
But what I get more worried about being canceled, like, locally by, like, cities. That you can never get back. Like one time I was in Boston, and I was talking about how, like, you know, like, guys wear jerseys when they watch their football team.
Yeah.
And it was like something, well, it was something like, I don't watch Grey's Anatomy and Scrubs. Like, why do you need to, like, it was some joke about that. And I said the Boston Patriots.
New England. Oh,
that's funny.
It took me like 20 minutes to get them back, you guys. Like, it was bad.
Damn. They take their sports seriously there.
What's it like? I mean,
what could I say in Houston that would be like,
ooh, insult Tex-Mex?
Oh, yeah.
You can make fun of
fun of our sports teams. They're all terrible.
You should go after, like, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Who was the former quarterback here, who had, what, 22?
22 allegations of assault. You know, we got rid of him.
I don't think I want to piss him off.
You don't have to worry about that if you're a masseuse. He would hire you because he hired a lot of masseuses and stuff. So.
Whitney, what's okay, so you're coming to Houston. You're here in 2 days, but
are you just here for 1 day? Like, fly in and
I'm going to try to come in a day early because I'm at, I've never been to this venue before, the 713 Music Hall.
Yeah. Ooh, it's awesome.
Is it awesome?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know because none of us have been there yet. It's so new.
But is it brand new?
It's brand new.
Yeah, it's like, what, not even 7 months old?
It used to be a giant post office. I'm Rula, by the way. Sorry. Yeah, Rula just got in. But yeah, it used to be a giant post office, Whitney, and it's this really amazing venue. So I think you're going to really enjoy it because a lot of Houstonians are very happy with
it. And the temperature tomorrow, the high is 75 and Friday 77. So you got your wish. We're not no 90s. You're going to be all right.
But Whitney, I wanted to ask you real quick. I mean, what's it like from city to city? You know, you've obviously have seen you here in Houston before. Is there a different vibe from like different city to city?
Like Southern, no, Midwestern, North?
Do you change your jokes for the audience?
I definitely do. Because here's the thing. Every city in America is like a different country. It is. I've just did 50 cities since November, and I've toured a lot. I usually do like 80 cities a year. But for some reason, like, you know, everyone's really lean. Maybe it was the pandemic. Everyone's leaned into their city, you know, like in a bigger way. And yeah, I mean, I was just in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to say something that's probably not going to go over so well.
Go ahead.
I prefer
San Antonio to Austin. I'm going to say it.
Whoa. Oh, that's okay.
That actually goes well fine with us.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just feel like Austin, like, I mean, every city in Texas. So I'm from a place, my mom's from a place called Sherman, Texas.
Oh my God, yeah.
We were just talking about Sherman, Texas.
It's like an hour out of Dallas.
We were on this segment, and this guy was cheating with a girl's sister, and she lived in Sherman.
He was banging his sister,
Yeah, there's not a lot to do. He wasn't cheating. He was just, there's nothing to do. Just give him a break.
Oh my God,
like, okay, so what is the worst gig you've ever had to do?
She cheated herself by moving there.
Oh my God, that is so weird. That's where you're from?
Was Sherman the worst place to be?
No, you know what? I love Sherman, but this is actually my favorite. You know when you grow up and you realize everything your parents told you was a lie and manipulation? It's like my mom used to tell me that when the ice cream truck played music, that meant it was out of ice cream.
That's what Rula does.
That's what I do. Whitney, oh my God, you're my person. I have always said that, and I just put that over the spring break weekend. Oh, I've been foiled because my husband was with my kids, and he bought them the damn ice cream when the music was on, and now they know.
And so when I was a kid growing up in, we would spend every summer in Sherman, and they always told me, we're in a drought, so I could only take 2 showers a week, and I could only wash my hair once a week in the sink in the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
What? Why would they not want you to be clean?
What kind of drought did Sherman have? Jeez.
But they told me everyone did that in Texas.
Everybody in Texas? Everybody in Texas.
They all stink. Gosh, so you were prepared for a smelly crowd.
I'm like, I'm just a kid, but like, I feel like if it's 120 degrees outside, people are probably taking showers. Like, it's, you can't be that sweaty and filthy.
Well, let me just reset. Since I just walked in here, I want to tell everybody that we are speaking to Whitney Cummings. She is on the Rula and Ryan Show on 104.1 KRBE. She will be here at 713 Music Hall, and it is part of your tour. You've been here, I want to say, a couple of times. I don't know if y'all covered that before I walked in.
Yeah, before you got here, we were talking about it. She was at the improv last time.
So my thing is how different, like, actually, it's not like different. It's how much more do you appreciate getting back on tour, Whitney, after what we've been through in the last 2.5 years
the
where
pandemic.
You couldn't go anywhere?
I gotta say, you know, especially I think to me, and this is going to be kind of unnecessarily like emotional, but I think after the 2 years of being online and being like, oh, everyone hates each other, like no one can be in the same room together, everyone's just so negative. And then you get in a room with, you know, at a comedy show and there's 2,000 people in one place, no one knows how the other person voted, no one can, and everyone's just laughing together. It reminds me, like, we're so much more similar than we are different. And like, everything the media is doing to try to keep us scared and keep us like pitted against each other. Like it's been such a relief. Cause after the pandemic, I was like, I don't want to go back out there. Everyone's a monster. Everyone's screaming at everyone. Everyone's mean to everyone. Everyone, you know, and then you go out in the world and you're like, oh no, there's this like this, all these fears and phobias you can build. If you're just on the internet all the time, you would think that the world.
Oh, because conflict sells. That's why they do it.
Well, that's, I mean, it's just,
right. We're letting a bunch of 14 and 15 year old teenagers like tweeting at us, make us scared and think that, you know, everyone's you know, hates each other.
But have you ever been baited by it? Have you ever been trolled enough to where they pissed you off so much that you had to fire back?
You know, yeah, my thing now, I used to go back, you know, as a, I'm a roast joke person, I used to go back and like roast their photo because any, the meanest people, you'll go to their profile, it's always like proud dad.
Yeah, yeah, like, right. What? Really, are you a proud dad?
Yeah.
Like father of Luna and Olivia. And you're like, what? Like, how? But then my new thing now, because hating people, being mean to people, it's like, look, when we were kids, we would egg houses and knock over mailboxes. Yes. Like, we were worse.
The good old days when we vandalized.
Yeah, we didn't torment you when you got home on social media. You can't get away from it.
We destroyed property. We destroyed property. Young kids now just destroy, like, your
esteem.
Feelings. Yeah, they destroy your feelings.
Winnie, what's your take? Because we're all Gen X. Yeah. And I assume you're Gen X as well. What
I don't know. I'm 39.
Okay.
Yeah, are you a millennial?
Is that the new way to ask a woman her age?
No,
I think you're right.
It's just about what he's about to, like, the nostalgia factor point.
I just feel like people don't, like, the Gen X area, that area, people are always bashing, like, millennials and Z and the baby boomers. Yeah. No one's talking about Gen X. And I just feel like that's a market where you could reach a lot of people because no one talks about us anymore. Gen X people.
Yeah, what is that age range?
You're pretty much close. It's pretty much like,
I think right now it's like 41 to, I don't know, what.
56.
It's pretty much all the way like, what are your, okay. I don't want to see your year.
I think, by the way, I think you're used to talking to male comedians that know the age of consent in every state.
Yeah. Yeah, every comedian knows that.
In New Jersey, it's 21. In Florida, it's 18. In Connecticut, it's 17. I'm like, how do you know?
That sounds like Jim Norton would do that. Mm-hmm. I can see Jim.
Yes.
Whitney, is this as an entertainer, as a comedian, I don't know if this is something that makes you happy or impresses you or you like this better than others, but I don't look at you as just like a stand-up comic. To me, I first became familiar with your comedy when you did your own show on NBC called Whitney, and then you co-created Two Broke Girls. So the fact that you're doing a comedy stand-up tour to me, I'm like, oh, that's funny. She does stand-up comedy, too.
I used to hear
like,
writing.
Is it cooler for you to know, for somebody to know you for that work versus being a stand-up comic? Or, like, how did the evolution of that happen? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, being a comedian, stand-up comedian is my number one. And, it's always surprising when people are like, oh, you do stand-up? And I'm like, what? Like, I've ruined my entire personal life and probably miss my window to have biological kids for you to not know I do stand-up. What I do. But yes, you know, I think that, you know, after I, you know, did my first special, I was doing the Comedy Central roast, like, you know, I got some, you know, opportunities to do television and I had some scripts written and, you know, there's no way to like just do, you know, two sitcoms by day and stand up by night and tour on the weekends, you know, and I wanted to make sure I was doing all of them well. So, you know, I try to also as a comedian, not just sort of, you know, keep doing an impression of who I was last, you know, sometimes I think if you do a special and go right back out, you're kind of just in this, I think it's important for art to imitate life. You have to have a life. So I kind of like, go, okay.
Amen. Yeah. You got to have a life.
Let me go on some bad dates, go make some mistakes, go learn.
You're like, yes, material.
And just so that by my next special, I have, you know, original points of view and I've lived a little bit so I can actually relate to the people that are paying me money to think like them, you know? So, you know, I definitely...
I would love to see a Netflix special of the ultimate roast. You and Nikki Glaser and Amy Schumer, like the originals from the roast,
that would be really
all something. Get together and just tear people apart.
Yes, Will Smith, the roast of Will Smith.
Yeah,
that would be great.
I am going to, actually, I have an announcement coming soon. I'm going to do a roast show that is going to be, we figured out a way to make it so that, like, there's no way for it to be, like, cancelable. You know, there's no way for them to cut the jokes. It's going to be all stuff that you're not allowed to say on TV or even on the internet at this point. It's stuff that would get kicked off YouTube. I mean, jokes are getting pulled off YouTube, you know.
That's why you got to have them confiscate the phones when you go in.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. The Yonderbacks, which we're not doing this weekend. I trust Texas people. I am not too worried about it. So we're not doing the Yonderbacks, which I just want people after the masks and all the crap. Like, I want people to just be able to come to a comedy show, not have to worry about anything. I have a... Even if you don't think women are funny, come for no other reason except that
I do
not
people say that.
Now. I've seen Whitney's show, and it's great.
I just would say I don't talk about politics at all. So at least you know you're going to come to a place where you don't have to hear about politics or the news.
You might hear about a vagina once or twice, but politics.
You know, when I was like, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Whitney. Respond to that.
No, I don't talk about that. I show it, though, at the end.
713 Music Hall is where we're going to see you. It is a new music hall, so you can use that. It used to be a post office. Have as much fun with that as you want. By the way, a little inside scoop. It was a post office that was so controversial when it shut down because it basically shut down the mail in Houston when it happened. Everyone's like, why the hell they shut down the post office? We can't get
no one was getting their letters, mail.
And now we have what? Entertainment.
Like, what? Oh, you weren't getting your Bed Bath & Beyond coupon?
We were not. Yeah. We were not. April
that
the 8th
is so
what we're
Texas.
It's so Texas.
Don't tread on my mail.
And listen, I want you, for the people who are listening right now, because it's on podcast too, to live forever. You know, we have a lot of big names and success stories that have come from our area, like Jim Parsons and Matt Bomar and Beyonce and all these people. And we have a lot of kids who thrive. They want to be artists. And every artist, every entertainer has that one shot story that got them the portal to get to the road of fame.
Yeah, you're on TV a lot.
What was your one story that you would say is the story that launched you or the person that launched you?
Whoa. Well, I have to say vagina, so I'm not going to say that story. the one story, I mean, honestly, I feel like it was the moment that I did the Joan Rivers roast and I went out there and it could have gone either way. It was very much like, you know, I was an underdog, you know, Joan Rivers, my hero, a legend. You know, I'm going out there. I need to prove myself. And I went out and my opening joke, I just decided to just go swinging. And this was, I don't know, I guess 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, and wow. I just looked at her and I went, Joan, I loved you in The Wrestler. And
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. Oh my
God. The movie had just came out, you know, so it was like, such a, to go like straight for her face. I didn't know if she had a sense of humor about it. Like, so it was just one of those moments. And then as soon as it cracked and it got a big applause break, I was like, okay, like,
but how'd you even get that chance, Whitney? How'd you even get the chance? Because you had already been doing stand-up, right? So what launched you into that path? You went from your mom's in Sherman, Texas, and now you're roasting Joan Rivers.
Yeah, so I, you know, came out to L.A., I did a show called Punked, and then I started writing roast jokes, you know, I started submitting them, they said, you know, we have our roast people, we don't hire new ones, you know, which was kind of the way of saying we don't hire girls, and I just wrote all these roast jokes and kept sending them in, and then for the Flavor Flav roast, there was a joke that they wanted, so they hired me in my packet, I wrote, Flavor Flav, you look like what Magic Johnson should look like right now.
So it's perseverance, really, and persistence. You just kept writing the jokes, and they kept rejecting you.
Do you ever get burned out of Hollywood, though? The whole world, the fake kisses, and everyone has an angle to has a script, even a waiter. Does it just get
frustrating? I don't get involved in any of that. I live out in the woods in Topanga Canyon. You know, I'm touring most of the time. I spend most of my time in, you know, every city in the country, in the Midwest, in the South. I mean, you know, last weekend I was in Austin and Dallas and San Antonio. So I get to have a good balance, you know.
How does that work? Like if you want to date?
Can you date?
Well, I'm dating my veterinarian. So that was just how it worked.
That's the only person you saw the most
and I'm
of.
Frugal.
When you were home, you saw that person the most, and that's how it just ended up.
Truly, correct.
And you're frugal. You get free.
Yeah, and so you know that's I met my guy at the vet's office. You know, I don't go out like, and I'm a comedian. I work every night. It's not like I'm going to go to bars or whatever. I can't go on like dating apps. But I also, you know, you'll have to come to the show. I'll tell you all about what's going on in my nightmare dating life.
That's great.
Sounds good,
Whitney. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to
be with
us.
You're the best.
Today.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. I hope I get to see you guys again. Come on back.
Definitely.
We do appreciate you and everything that you do too for opening the door for other girls and other women to not let anybody put them down. So good for you.
Oh, man. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll see you guys soon, I hope.
Bye. Right, thanks, Whitney. Have a great day.
All right, love you guys.
Love you.
Too. Honey. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
She's really awesome, though. I mean, when I saw her at the improv, I was just blown away how funny. It's just quick. I mean, it's just
she's really
so sharp.
My impression of her, I'd probably be intimidated as a as a listener of hers, like a fan of hers, you kind of get ready for the cut down or the, you know.
But she's not,
she's really not mean.
She's most about herself.
Yeah, yeah. It's like self-deprecating.
Like Nikki can be a little Glazer. But she's, they're all funny. I think it's the year, the decade of the women for comedians. It's right now, I think they're a top, top of the game. I mean, you got Chappelle, obviously, is to me the best.
Well, I think the best joke, like again at the Oscars, was we have three women doing the Oscars and we're still cheaper than one man.
Yep.
You know, Amy Schumer said that. And, you know, Netflix does like a satellite radio comedy bits.
Yep.
And they did like a whole channel of just female comedians. I think this is so crazy that we are still in a world, even in 2022, where in country music, women have to pinpoint that there aren't a lot of female country artists being taken seriously, even now. And in radio, we've said this before in the other raw feeds, that there was a time in radio, and some arcane cavemen still believe this in smaller cities, you can't play two female artists back to back.
Oh, I know. That's
you
how it used
break
to start.
It up, like man, woman, that man, man,
that's
man,
how, that's
man,
how it used
woman.
To be in radio. Yeah.
Right here. Even recently.
Not at KRBE, but no, it was
but recently
other stations.
I've heard that with stations.
They don't play girls back to back, which is stupid. And then the same thing for her to say that, you know, female comedians, people aren't like women are funny. I mean, give me a break.
It only took 100,000 years on the planet for shit to finally get corrected.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, still not corrected.
If you really get bored today and you're listening to this afterwards, go to YouTube and type in the like her name, Whitney Cummings, Rose. Because that's how I saw her. And she was so brutal. And then after she left, Amy Schumer started doing it. Because Amy Schumer
When she left, what do you mean? Like she just retired?
I think she went on
to
other things. Maybe she went to start
getting her own stuff, or she did the show.
The thing that was so great
about
Whitney.
Once you get bigger, then you then you start doing other things. She was probably busy writing Two Broke Girls. Amy Schumer came in there. She got popular.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't do it anymore. Then Nikki came in.
Yeah. But Whitney's just like so sweet and yet so brutal at the same time. It's hilarious.
I forgot where she grew up. I should have looked at her bio more.
Well, it said that she was in D.C. area.
I thought it was East Coast.
Her dad was like a
Isn't that crazy? Sherman, Texas?
Sherman,
Texas. I can't
believe
Sherman.
We've never heard of Sherman until
that
twice in a week.
That was so crazy. Yeah, because I was looking up some information about her before we had her on. And
I could swear she was like 43.
Credits, well, she's turning 40 this year. September 4th
Plus
is her birthday.
Hollywood, so.
2022.
You know, you want to stay 30 in your 30s as long as you can.
Oh, that's true. Clinging on to that.
Yeah, it's my 39th. Like, Chelsea Handler says she's the same age as me, or a year younger.
I don't believe that. I don't know about that.
It says in one of her bios that she was working on Punk'd as like when the fake actors that punk you.
Yep.
Remember, and somebody suggested to her that she would do well as a stand-up comic.
Yeah, because so I think she's
motivated her
to
try and do
Good for her.
It's all like I'm saying, it's always somebody tells you something or maybe gives you a shot, you know, and that's cool that she got to. I mean, everybody has a story of how they got to where they are, including us. So it's cool. Just keep on keeping on.
Check out her show if you get a chance, because she's really funny.
And if you really want to get an insight to the world of stand-up comics, you've got to watch Comedians in Car or Getting Coffee in Cars with Jerry Seinfeld, because every single one of those people is a stand-up.
I'd be taking notes.
A seasoned stand-up.
I'd be like, for radio, if I watched every radio great in a car with another radio great, I'd be taking notes. Like Howard Stern, if he went around, brought in a, you know, a radio guy and taught, I'd be like,
read Howard's books. Howard's books are great. I'm reading one right now. It's just about his interviews.
Yeah, I bought that one. I haven't read it yet.
It's really good.
Though? There's some story how Magic Johnson's going after him today for not calling him out for all his racial stuff when he interviewed him years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's attacking Howard Stern about what a racist he was to him, to Magic Johnson.
Well, there was a lot of audio of him like doing blackface and stuff, Howard Stern back in the shock jock days in the 90s.
The Howard Stern one on Comedians in Cars annoyed me because Howard Stern wants to be the star. And I'm like, this is Jerry Seinfeld's 20-minute show.
He can't let himself.
You are being the interview. Like, you're getting interviewed. Do not try and turn this around.
But David Letterman,
Seinfeld.
Whenever he's on there, he's got to do something. He can't let
to. But he talks about that. I mean, he loved Letterman.
Wait, what'd you say about David
Letterman?
Like,
he can't let them interview him. He always has to interrupt them. And
David Letterman interrupts?
No, Howard
interrupt David. Like, it's supposed to be.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, come on.
He doesn't like to release control, because this whole thing about his whole show, he controls everything on that show. Like,
which
he really produces
it. That must be exhausting.
Hey,
I have no problem releasing the control to you, Eric.
Hey, if I get $100 million a year.
He must not trust anybody then. Well, he must not trust anyone.
Even people he interviews, he says he'll change the subject. He gets bored.
But he's a great interviewer, though. Read the book.
Really, Ryan. I was telling you.
Oh, yes, he is.
I mean, he is. But my personal opinion, the last 6 months, the times that I've listened to him, I told Eric.
Oh, yeah.
He pisses me off in his interviews because he turns it around on him. He does some self-deprecating joke about him. He's not really letting that person shine, because I'll be like, oh, because I would have blah blah blah.
I think he brings things out of people that they wouldn't normally.
But it's almost to the point of harassment.
Say to somebody else,
but
like
now,
for some people,
like I'm reading the transcripts. That's what the book is. It's the transcripts of all his interviews, and they're fascinating.
But
they're really good.
Earned that, and I think when you go on that show, now you know
that
you're going to have to give up the goods.
Yeah,
but before he couldn't get anybody on his show. So I gotta give him props for that. He started off.
No, yeah, I
learned to get
for what the levels are. But what, like the Bill Hader interview he did when Bill Hader retired from SNL, that was a really good interview.
I have to take off. I have to go.
I gotta go too,
to the gym.
Let's wrap it up.
Oh, you need to go to the gym.
Gotta get work.
Is that what you're gonna do?
Make it work.
He's shorting you because he needs to go do a squat.
Y'all have a fantastic day.
I don't want more of me.
Now Howard Stern's going to get a hold of this. Listen to these bozos and Jackson talking.
Hey, Howard, I love you, man.
That's what I said. I liked his interview with Bill Hader, but some of those interviews, you can tell he's, you know, twisting it in a way that people are not comfortable.
It's called manipulation. You got to get these snobby stars to talk somehow, and he does it.
Yep, he's the master.
All right, y'all kiss his ass more.
Well,
okay,
yeah.
Have a great day, Rob Peters. Take care.
Every day
bye.
I will.
You hung up on her. She's not there. All
the lines are dead. Oh, crap. Are you kidding me?
Why'd you hit the button, man?
I didn't. I was turning the volume up, and then I just noticed that.
Oh, no. She talked about the slap and stuff. And
shit.
Well, this is a real raw feed.
Wait, how long were y'all talking before I walked in? Because I went to the restaurant. I went to go get
my drink. We were talking for 15 minutes. Oh, God. She's going to think we hung up on her.
Before I walked in.
Oh, no.
Oh,
crap. Now we're going to lose our time. Is that them calling? The line's ringing. Pick it up. Pick it up.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.